Hey!
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the Midday Show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today. You like the song? I love this song. It's the best thing that's ever happened to me, this song. What a hit. Song of the summer, summer sang.
Has been coming in hot all day long.
Who's been coming in hot?
Yeah, he's hot. Like, no, because I can barely hear you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Fran with the intro music.
Fran is ready to go to the mosh pit.
Oh, Fran's
ready. It sounds fine.
It sounds super loud to us because Tom, Polo Tom's over here yelling.
I think it's a you guys
problem.
That's
naturally what I do coming back from break.
There's always a you people problem. I got you.
Yeah. We'll check in with you people later on.
Oh, do we have to?
In the show. We have to. This segment brought to you by Meineke. Get your AC tuned up for the summer and road trip this season. Take your car to your locally owned and operated Meineke. Find a location near you at Meineke.com. Now, we'll get back to the phones in a few minutes here, but Fritz versus the camera about to get underway at Plymouth White Marsh. And moments ago, an exclusive interview, Buzz was able to sit down for a minute with Joe DeCamera.
All right, standing by with Joe DeCamera, the hammer, the second to arrive between you and Jack. Any strategy to that? They were talking about it on the air.
Yeah, I wanted to see him throw, which I did in the bullpen, so I feel pretty good about that. Just kind of getting myself mentally prepared in the car, which I feel great about. Also went to the bathroom and at my typical McDonald's stop, you know, after I ate lunch, which was not at McDonald's, by the way, but, you know, McDonald's pit stop, which is always needed. I feel good. I feel great. We got a great crowd here, which is awesome, and, you know, ready to rock and roll.
Now, the decision to go with the Techno Bowl t-shirt and shorts, not your usual full baseball uniform, what went into that?
I just thought loose is good. It's hot, you know. I mean, no rule on what you have to wear. Obviously, I want him sweating like a pig, and I'll probably be sweating myself, but hopefully less so, and I just want to keep it loose and ready to, you know, think of it this way. Michael Phelps isn't going in a, you know, full bodysuit to swim down a, you know, a lane in a swimming pool, so I want to keep it loose and just be ready to roll.
You are known as a very confident guy, but a lot of people feel as if your confidence has been a little subdued going into this overall match, and baseball in particular. Just for the record, before we get in the batter's box here today, what is your level of confidence to succeed and to beat Jack on the baseball field?
You know, I've said many times, I think he's a rightful favorite. I mean, he's a varsity athlete in high school in baseball, and obviously a scholarship athlete in college. Good for him. So I think the edge should go to him on the way in. I will essentially let my play on the field do the talking and potentially my mouth tomorrow on the air. Bottom line is I feel ready. If people want to consider him the favorite, as I do, that's fine. 69% of people in our poll said they think he's going to win. Cool. Let's go.
Last thing for you. A lot of people expect you to take a lot of pitches, try and run that pitch count up. What is your strategy here today?
To get on base. So, you know, if he's not getting the ball over. And by the way, he looked like he had good control in warm-ups. But look, if he's throwing balls, I intend to, you know, lay off him. I mean, that's obviously, I mean, it's good enough for Barry Bonds, good enough for me. But if the ball's in the zone and it's a good count for me to hit, you know, I intend to hit. I mean, ideal scenario for me, I get four hits. But, you know, if I get a walk to get on, great. I mean, I'll take whatever's necessary.
Tom, Hugh, Kyle, I'll send it back to you.
Well, there it is. That was Buzz's sit down with Joe DeCamera. I got to say, I'd say a striking difference in the confidence level that Joe is exuding versus what I felt to be a lack of confidence coming through in Buzz's interview with Jack. Would you guys agree?
I would say so, but I got stuck on one part of that interview that maybe
McDonald's.
Yeah.
Oh, that was unnecessary.
See, Kyle been working with me for too long because I think Kyle was there too. Okay, you say like what are you stopping at McDonald's doing, dude? Like, you blowing up the McDonald's? Like, because that's what it sounded like. You ain't stopping at McDonald's. That's not a number one stop. That's a number two stop. Because I know folks that
was so unnecessary.
Well, he's letting you know that he had to clear his bowels before he get ready for this competition. Because I know folks that, like, strategically.
People are trying to eat lunch here.
I think he's talking about eating at McDonald's. Yes.
No, he's not. He said stopped at the bathroom.
Yeah, he did.
He said stopped at the bathroom.
He made it very clear to say he needed
sorry
to go to
the bathroom.
Sorry
to everybody that's enjoyed the lunch, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ma'am. Sorry about that. I didn't gross the lady out. I'm sorry. But but it's like I know people that strategically, they know where the, you know, certain areas are that have the better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was just kind of wondering, I mean, is that like a.
It was not necessary.
It was not, but he shared.
Yes, he did.
an appropriate picture
of Joe DeCamera.
Joe DeCamera.
Yes, he did.
Now, I've got to say, we got some inside information during the break talking to our guy Mike over here, who's got a friend that's on the scene, who said Jack looked very good in warm-ups. Mm-hmm. As Joe said, apparently Jack was throwing some heat. He said he didn't know if it was 80, but apparently, I mean, maybe there is more life in that arm than we gave Jack credit for.
Somebody,
remains to be seen.
Yeah, I need to see someone down there with a radar gun.
Location.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think location is the key, man. I mean, you could, anybody can throw it hard, but can you get it over the plate?
Yeah. What do we think he tops out at today?
78.
I would say
I think he gets
71.
To 80, man.
You think
wow.
so?
Mm-hmm. 80. That would be intense, but the inside information that we are getting, that Jack looked good in his bullpen before the game, so we'll see if that can translate over to the field at Plymouth White Marsh today. 215-592-9494. So you want to get in, you're welcome to. Also talking, obviously, a lot about the Phillies and asking you the question, what bothers you the most after last night? Was it Rob Thompson's handling of the bullpen? Sending Jordan Romano out for a second inning when he hasn't done that all year. Is it the players? Is it Romano not getting the job done? The offense not scoring more runs? Or is it Dave Dombrowski? I come down on Dombrowski, and I just continue to look at this team, and I see a roster that is flawed. I see a roster that was flawed heading into the season, a roster the Phillies did not address properly in the offseason, and I think that's what we've seen so far. But as you said, Hugh, you think the players and falls on that?
Players got to step up, man. I mean, that was a winnable game last night. When you look at the way that they were trying to play, that was a winnable game. Players got to play. You know, it's only so much. You put you, you know, Topper put you in a position to be successful. And I know that we've been talking about relief pitching for a long time, but players got to play, man. They got to win that game. In the park home run, man.
I mean, that's just
terrible. That was what absolutely I did. When me and Joe played MLB The Show with the kids. That's what happened to me. But I don't play baseball. Now, it was a video
game. How do you
game.
Give up an inside the parker
in a video game? I don't know how to play.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just incompetence. Did you, not knowing how to use the controller.
I mean, I didn't need you to double down. That the double down was not needed.
Did you have, like, the hard throwing on where, like, you have to hit it through it within the meter?
No, I was I didn't.
It's
I didn't,
bad fielding.
No, but the buttons.
You don't let up an inside the parker run without terrible fielding. And I mean, Marsh was a part of that last night with the Phillies.
Terrible.
But hopefully the Phillies can bounce back today. Jesus Luzardo on the mound, first pitch, 310. 215-592-9494. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Evan in South Carolina. What's up, Evan?
Evan, the Drexel Hill native, is in such a good mood because you guys are too. That is a lie. And that's why Romano needs to stay in Frisco, because he is useless. You can't blame this on Topper. The guy keeps on saying, give me the ball. That tells me what he is, guys. He's a known liar. He says he has his stuff. He doesn't have his stuff. And all he has to do, what do we do in Philadelphia or any other sports town? We have the greatest of all time. Don't we know this? Say you're sorry, or at least say, I stink.
Wait, you want Evan? So you want Jordan Romano to come out and issue a formal apology for not being good?
No, because he's already doing that in quotes. He's already apologizing for saying, I've got to get better. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Just shut up and go do it. But it's like one or all of the gentlemen with you today said, this is 170% on Romano. He has to get it done. Because if you cannot get it done, we've got to move on. We're better than this. No. We're the fighting Phils.
Well,
he's not fighting.
You.
Okay, short and easy. Jordan's not fighting, and that's not acceptable.
Well, Evan, I hear you. Here's a quick one.
Quick one. Please don't hang up on me.
Oh, Jesus.
Here's a quick one. Go see the doctor. Find a way to get him in street clothes. At least get him in street clothes. He has to figure it out. If it's about his brain's not working, I don't know, but I have rarely – I've been on this earth since 64. We've seen a lot of bad baseball in a lot of different cities, but this guy wouldn't deserve to start in Colorado or pitch in Colorado.
He's not good, Evan. I appreciate the call. It's not about fight with Jordan. Like, Jordan Romano just stinks. Like, can we be honest about it?
Yeah, I mean, he's got
he's
that –
he's not a good pitcher.
He's got that psycho – pitcher's mentality that, like, you want to see from a guy who's good, but he's not good.
No, he's not. And it's one of those things where he could pitch great the rest of the year. Would anybody at this point have any confidence in him come playoff time? I wouldn't.
If he pitched great starting now?
Yeah.
I mean, because you got PT, you have PT. I know what you said. You have PTSD.
And there's just something about Romano where he's, like, annoying to watch pitch. He's always fidgeting around, and he gets up and he does like a routine in the bullpen in the third inning. It's like, dude, just sit down and relax, and, you know, do your job when you're called upon. You don't need to do all this extra stuff. But pretty brutal. Watching Jordan Romano, and he was terrible last night again. Let's go to Andrew in Ridley Park. What's Andrew. Up, Andrew?
Hello.
What's up, man?
Hello.
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 What's up,
hello?
Andrew?
What's hello? Up? So I think hello. I think we're putting the blame all on the wrong people. If you actually go back and watch that last inning, you see Cassie and Marsh right next to each other, standing, watching the ball hit the fence and then roll halfway down the fence to center field. If Marsh played the outfield properly, he should be backing up Cassie, not standing right next to him like their best friends holding hands in the park. Marsh should have been backing him up so that way that run doesn't score if we're inside the park and walk off home run.
Well, yeah, I mean, that's another part of it, Andrew. I mean, the defense on that play was terrible. The one thing, and I get you're in a different ballpark, you don't exactly know how the ball's going to bounce, but you got to understand there, like, that's the one thing you can't allow to happen.
Yeah, and that goes back to my point of it's just common baseball knowledge of just backing each other up, not standing next to each other. And for Topper to be so calm and cool about it when they seem very content and laid back and just not necessarily lazy, but they seem like they know what their mindset is. They're going to be in the playoffs anyway, so I feel like that's the way they're playing. If I'm Topper or somebody like Harper or somebody, I would just go crazy in the locker room and like set a standard like, hey, we're better than this and we got to start playing like it, not just coast until the playoffs.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I don't know. Do you think they're coasting? Because I don't think they're coasting.
I don't think. I think they're comfortable where they are, man. I mean, there's still a lot of baseball left to be played. This is the psyche, I think, of baseball players. I just find, you know, I find it fascinating that people say, hey, they need to go in the locker room and throw a fit. If that's not the way your locker room is designed, what is that going to accomplish? If everybody's just going to look at you like you're crazy. You have to have those guys in the locker room with that type of mentality. And it's obvious from the manager on down to the players that that's not how they're built. It's just not.
So then would you bring up a young guy like somebody with a chip on their shoulder,
Otto
like
Kemp.
A Justin Crawford? Or,
you mean yeah. like an Otto Kemp? Otto Kemp was that spark to me. Otto Kemp was that spark that they had.
Thanks, Andrew.
When they brought somebody up, and he played with that want to. That's why he's still here.
But that kind of thing only, I feel like, gives you a spark for like a brief period of time.
It's we're talking about culture. We're talking about culture now. We're talking about dog mentality. I think that's what we're talking about, because it's a lot of times we as fans for the last couple of weeks we say, well, Topper needs to throw his cap and he needs to go slap the umpire and stuff like that. That's not who they are. That is not who they are. You know, and there's been how many times that we sat here, and I mean, to a certain extent, it's true. They say, hey, we got a lot of baseball. We're in a good spot. They're not lying, but there's no sense of urgency.
It's not who they are, but is that not what you feel like they might be lacking?
That sense of urgency?
Well, like, yeah, like the fire, the spirit,
suburban,
like the sense of urgency.
Energy.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and this is the
that's
thing,
what
too,
it is.
One thing we were
keep talking about the suburbs, man.
Batting
I'm
around
just saying,
a little
it's nice
bit.
In the suburbs, though.
Batting around a little bit before the show is Bryce and his energy or kind of lack thereof. Because when Bryce struggles, it feels like something is not there with him. And he's 0-for-4 last night, worked a walk in the game, but struggled a little bit. And he has obviously not had the kind of year we're accustomed to him having, has not looked himself since coming off the IL. And yesterday we talked a lot about the trade deadline. Do you guys, to fully commit to this team, do you need to see Bryce kind of pick it up a little bit? I don't. I look at it and I say, regardless, I'm going to take my chances on Bryce getting back to being himself. I'm going all in anyway. I'm not going to kind of let this year kind of pass me by because of Bryce not looking himself. Where do you fall?
I'm with you on that. I think Bryce, for Bryce, is time. He just needs time, man. I think that his biggest thing right now is to adjust to the way his body's feeling. And sometimes that takes a little bit of time. He's been working some at-bats, no question about that. It's going to take him time, in my opinion, to get comfortable where his body is right now.
Yeah, because he just hasn't looked right. And I'll ask you, Kyle, I mean, when you talk about the deadline and you look at the Bryce situation, do you need to see him look more like himself before you're ready to fully commit to this team?
Yeah, so not like entirely himself, because I don't think we're ever going to get that, at least not this season. I don't think we're going to see that version again. But I just look at, again, how well the pitching staff has been playing this season and just how well they're pitching right now. Like, I think the month of June, they're like the top three ERA guys. Or since June, they're the top three ERA guys in all of baseball.
Yeah.
It's something where I feel like you can't waste that, or you can't, like, punt when you have that. So while they might not get a guy they're definitely not going to get a guy who's as impactful as getting, like, the full 100% Bryce Harper back would be, they can still get a guy that adds a little bit more juice and can get you a hit in a big moment, or even, you know, maybe a guy that gives you a little bit of power. Like, I still think they can bolster this lineup enough to the point where it tips the scale in a way that the pitching can get you by in the postseason.
Yeah, so, and the more I watch them, the more I just feel like they need so much that I don't know if they can accomplish the things they need. Because one day, you think it's the bats. And Monday night, obviously, that game, they don't score any runs. And it's like, oh, well, they really need a bat. That goes to the top of the priority list. Then last night happens. And it's like, okay, well, they really need a bullpen piece. And the answer in the end is you need both. Like, you need a big-time bullpen arm. You need a big-time bat in your lineup. And that means you're going to have to give up a hell of a lot at the deadline.
Yeah, but in reality, you're not going to be able to get big-time both. You know, and I think that's where we are, especially when you talk about the standings and where most teams are at this point. You're going to get fleeced, and how comfortable you are. And not only that, TK, your biggest piece, I would think, is Andrew Painter.
Yeah.
And you have a situation where you're going to need pitching in a couple years. No matter how you slice that piece of pie, you're going to need pitching. Somebody's going to ask for your pitcher. That if you want to make that kind of move, somebody's going to ask for him. And I don't think you're really in a position that you want to give that up yet.
Yeah, and we'll get to the Painter thing coming up, because he had another outing last night in AAA. Kind of mixed results, and what the Phillies should do with him in the immediate future. We'll get to that coming up in a few minutes as well. Let's go back to the phones. Go to Sean in Newark. What's up, Sean?
How you doing, guys? I got an update on the game.
No updates.
We're not doing that, dog.
Right,
we can't talk about that.
The score.
It's a big reveal.
I don't know how you're going to keep it a secret.
Okay,
we have been so far.
I won't ruin it, but I can talk about one thing that I know is going to be the big story tomorrow. Not Joe or Jack. It's going to be the cameraman that O.G. Wade hired to film the game. It's hysterical. OG Wade was getting nothing.
What do you got on the Phil, Sean?
What's that?
What do you got on the Phils?
Well, we can't talk about this. Like, it's the only thing you guys have been talking about.
Sean, does OG Wade work for the station, man? Read the room. That we're trying to OG Wade don't work for us. Read the room, dog. Be quiet.
Read, Sean. I was talking about what your big WIS
okay,
is.
Okay. And like I just told you, OG Wade don't work for us, man. Be quiet.
Yeah.
Oh, brutal.
Yeah. Sean, come
It's like this is – listen. Listen, Sean, since you're not on air anymore, this is what I was trying to tell you in the nicest way possible. We know he's there recording. He don't work for us. So why the hell are we going to promote somebody that don't work for us?
I love
it's
Sean.
It's that simple.
Sean made my open for the show. We tried to.
I mean,
tried
damn,
to tell
Sean.
You the nice way, Sean.
Oh, that's your but Sean. So
that's my guy.
I mean, but damn.
Like, Sean's still my guy.
We were trying in the nicest grown-up way to tell you that what we were trying to tell you, but your dumb ass didn't pick it up. You didn't pick it up, dog. We know. It's our job to know. Goodness. We know that. And when you came on the station and we kept trying to steer you in another direction, you kept talking. Read the damn room. Read the room, dog. It ain't that hard. Hell.
There
Back
you
to
go.
You, TK.
Well said. Let's go to Chris Back in Nazareth. What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing, man?
All right. Hey, about the Phillies last night, my question is, or should I say, Rob Thompson knew going into the game he wasn't going to have Kirkery, okay? He needed to do a better job of managing his pitching and his bullpen. Maybe let Walker go an extra inning, okay? But they have not had Romano go two innings all year. So a lot of this I blame on him. Marsh should not have been in center
field. Well, Chris, I'll ask you this. What would you have rather him do in that ninth inning? Would you have rather Romano come back out, Seth Johnson, or Joe Ross? Like, what's the winning choice?
Seth Johnson.
Seth Johnson? Who has not pitched? I don't know if he's pitched a meaningful inning in the major leagues to this point.
What's that?
I don't know if he's pitched a meaningful inning in the major leagues at this point. The guy's only been a
blowout. No, not meaningful.
I was at the game last week against San Diego. He looked good.
Yeah, I mean, he's pitching in garbage time. They're getting blown out in that game.
But the bottom line is this. He knew he had no Kirkering going into the game. So let Walker go an extra inning.
No, I don't think that was the case. I think they thought they had Kirkering. And then something happened during the court.
He had to have known. They had to have known. Before the game.
Wait a minute, Chris. I think it was a fluid situation, to be fair to Topper. And he said he thought he was going to have – TK, wasn't a report that said he thought he was going to have him available for this game tonight?
And in the middle of the game, he found out he wasn't.
But
something like that.
But even if they did know, you can't really stretch Taiwan. Chris, Taiwan hasn't started a game in like 6 weeks. He threw 63 pitches. That's probably the most he's thrown in 2 months.
Here's the other thing, guy. Our defense, we haven't been scoring runs. It's a 3-1 game. You got to keep your best center fielder out there in center field because it certainly is not Marsh. Okay, he should have never been out there.
But we're always screaming about him pinch hitting, Chris. We're always screaming about how can you let Rojas hit these at bats. I mean, you got to trust your center fielders go out and make a play.
That's part of being a manager. Hey, that's part of being a manager. It's a close game. You're not scoring a lot of runs. You got to have defense, and your center fielder is your most important outfielder. Okay, that means, all right, I'm going to leave Rojas in, and he's going to be my center fielder.
But Chris, how about the fact that Marsh also got a critical hit and scored one of the runs to put you ahead? Do you think Rojas gets that hit?
Well, maybe. He didn't get a chance.
What do you think the chances are?
Well, let me ask you this. Who's the better center fielder?
The better center fielder is probably Rojas, but Marsh is by far the better hitter right now. So you got to get it. This is where, Chris, I think people just want to blame Rob Thompson, regardless of the situation.
That's basically what it is.
That's what it is.
Look, he has not had the roster that he needed to compete, but he hasn't managed what he does have very well.
I hear you, Chris, and I appreciate the call. I don't understand completely.
You say he doesn't have the roster he needs to compete, but he's competing.
Right.
And what are they, 13 games over 500 or something like that?
Yeah, and, like, you're in a situation where we always complain about not pinch hitting. He pinch hits Marsh. Marsh gets a hit, is on base for when Schwarber hits the homer. I mean, that's how you got the lead in large part. And, you know, I just don't know what you want Rob Thompson to do. And, sure, after the fact, it's easy to say Seth Johnson. But I would bet that if Rob Thompson goes to Seth Johnson and Seth Johnson blows it, Chris is ripping Rob Thompson for putting
him in. Yeah, that's what it kind of sounds like. It's the players have to be held accountable for the actions, man. And Romano in that situation should have – it wasn't like a situation that Topper felt it was not manageable. He just didn't get the job done.
Yeah. 215-592-9494. If you want to get in, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today, midday show. We are live from McGurk's Bar and Grill in Fort Washington. Fritz the camera going on currently at Plymouth White Marsh High School. A lot of stuff to get to throughout the rest of the show. We will get at some point to a development in the Sixers offseason dealing with Quentin Grimes. That's coming up as well. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio. This midday show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.